In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. These are dark days. Midwinter, bad weather, though today isn't so bad, and another lockdown. We need some good news. Not just hope of a vaccine, although that is indeed good news, as it's gradually rolled out, but good news of a deeper, more lasting and certain kind. And today we have it, as the season of Epiphany begins. This is the start of a rollout of a different kind. The rollout of the incredible good news of God made man in Jesus Christ. It's an unstoppable process. And through this month, we'll hear the accounts of how Jesus was revealed to different people, as a baby to the kings, through his baptism, his first miracle, and finally again as a young child in the temple. This is a fantastic season, when the hopes of Advent are seen to be beginning to be fulfilled. Epiphany traces the different ways in which Jesus was revealed as the Saviour. Yet it does more than this. We've heard the story of the birth of Jesus, of the angels and shepherds, and now of those we refer to as the wise men. This is all the detail. Detail we've come to know and love as the Christmas tradition. But the visit of those magi introduces us to the context, the wider picture, in three specific ways. Firstly, we have the wider context of the prophecies of the birth of this new king. Prophecies, of course, that we heard at Christmas time as well, and now we hear again in our first reading. And that sets the birth of Jesus in its historical context within Judaism. From today's psalm, we must note that this context is about a new ruler who will bring justice for the poor. It's not a new ruler to replace the old, but a ruler of a different kind. Then we have the introduction of a geographical context. These visitors came from the wider world. Although Joseph and Mary had a long journey, it was comparatively local. The shepherds just came in off the nearby hills. But these strange new visitors bring a caravan of camels and have come 1,000 miles or more over many months. And their visit to Herod reminds us of the political context. From the first, the new baby represented a threat to political power. Just as the gift of myrrh foretells his death, so the events surrounding his birth foreshadow the reason why he has to die. This new king, this ruler who promises justice for the poor, will threaten those who rule in a different way. Not by violence or arms, but through the introduction of a radically different vision of the world. So the events we celebrate today introduce context to our Christmas celebration. But they also mark the last point in the stories of his birth and a time when we start to look at his life. I used to wonder why those choosing readings for the lectionary did not keep to a chronological account in which the recognition of Jesus by Simeon and Anna in the temple would have come next week, following the birth stories, not placed at the beginning of February, at the end of this season of Epiphany, following considerations in the next few weeks of Jesus as a grown man at his baptism with his disciples for a miracle. But chronology is not the driving force here. All these accounts during Epiphany are accounts of the ways in which Jesus was recognized by others, revealed as the light of the world. The key concept here is not chronology, but revelation. And the way in which Jesus was to be revealed to Simeon and Anna as a young child is a supreme moment of revelation, at the climax, if you like, of Epiphany, based not on following a star, on anything that Jesus did, but on the extent to which two old people were fully in touch with God. We have to wait a few moments, a few weeks, for their story. But all these moments of revelation lead me to ask how we recognise Jesus as the Saviour today. Our own involvement in church comes through the work of the apostles after the death of Jesus, and the way in which the Holy Spirit led to the foundation and growth of the church. We, who are like the wise men, not Jews but Gentiles, are inheritors of the work not of prophets but of apostles and evangelists. And the reading that we did not hear this morning, our epistle, is a passage from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Here are just a couple of verses. Paul writes, "Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known." The work of the apostles. But there are two channels through which we may come to know that wisdom of God. One is proclamation, such as that of Paul. The other is revelation. Proclamation is what Paul did and the early apostles. They spread the word. They told people about Jesus. And most importantly, in time, they wrote down what they'd seen and heard. Without their proclamation, there would be no Bible, no church. But God also works in another way, by revealing himself to us directly. Epiphany is about the ways and times in which Jesus was revealed to different groups of people. Such revelation can occur when you're doing something completely different, even the washing up, which we were talking about earlier. I don't know what those three strange visitors, the Magi, made of what they found when they saw the child. They were following their own passion, the study of the stars. And it was through that passion and interest that they were brought to see the newborn child, whom we believe to have been God made man. Many people today don't come to faith through proclamation or even through the church. We may wish that churches were fuller, but actually, God speaks to people in all manner of ways, through the things that interest them, and also more directly. The season of Epiphany tells how the true identity of Jesus was revealed, and it encourages us to ask how we recognize him ourselves, how he is revealed to us as individuals. In all of this, we have incredibly good news for ourselves and to share with others. It won't always be through proclaiming God's word, but by God's own work in revealing himself through the events of our lives. So let us pray that God will reveal himself to us and give us joy in these dark times. Joy is a word that occurs in both of our readings. The joy of knowing that a process of redemption has been set in motion that cannot and will not be stopped, and that he will touch the lives of our friends and neighbours with an increasing awareness in their lives and in our own of his saving power to transform even in the darkest of days and darkest of circumstances. Amen.